This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, Sia.
Good morning, Ben Kopinski.
Hi, listener. That's you. Today is the 13th of March. That is my dad's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Papa.
Yeah.
Kopinski.
Well, I had nothing else significant to say about today. There it is.
Okay.
Gareth is working today.
Working elsewhere. You're making it sound like he doesn't do anything.
Yeah,
he's Gareth's working elsewhere today.
Gareth's not going to be here today, but that's okay. You got us. Sia, what do we have in store for this fantastic show today?
Well, it's a Tuesday, so we have the regulars, like the news and the sports. And
I heard the sports is very good on this show.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Great. And a crypto update as well. We have news at 7. And at 7:30, we have a guest stopping by as well, who we'll chat to briefly. Her name is Zanele. She is a runner, and specifically she is raising funds through running, which for a cause that's close to her heart. And then at 8 we have a new interview, which Gareth did with Jeremy Thompson from Sky News.
Ah, yes, this guy. So, you know when you hear someone's voice before you, so you see someone,
mm-hmm.
you don't recognize them. And then they start talking, you're like, of course.
That guy. Yes.
So Jeremy's got one of those voices that you just cannot mistake for anything else other
than... Even his face.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, once he starts speaking, then it's like, I know that guy. It's because his face, everything just molds in. Incredible, interesting guy. Now, he is known probably from Sky News anchoring,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
He's recently written a book.
Called Breaking News.
He knows a lot about this country. He lived here in the sort of early to mid 90s. So very knowledgeable guy, very interesting guy. Also loves wildlife. I remember when he came in for the interview, he'd just been at the, doing some big fiving.
Big fiving, yes.
And I highly recommend listening to interviews.
Actually going to ask, because I wasn't here when he came in, and like everyone was saying how nice he was and how he was just chilling with everyone and making conversation.
I think even Jane liked him.
Oh, that's the bar. If Jane likes him, it's amazing.
I mean, Jane was like borderline pleasant with him, which does say a lot for the man's character.
Yeah.
Because usually Jane is her.
Well,
she just doesn't have time for people.
Let's be honest, Jane's coarse.
Don't think so.
If we want to spread names around here, Jane is coarse. She's like a goat's knee sometimes.
Oh, jeez.
But we love her. And I, in particular, I love Jane. Jane and I, as you know, are best friends. She's made this very clear.
Okay.
Do you not think best friends is a bit of a stretch?
So, yeah, the other day, she went as far as to say, I'm her favorite celebrity. It's quite something, seeing as I'm not really a celebrity, but the fact that I'm her favorite. Look, you guys can be as jealous as you want to be.
No, we're not being jealous.
Sure, that's the word we're
That is your jealous face you just pulled. I know it. I've seen it a few times. You just pulled it right now.
Okay.
It's okay.
Let us not stop your role. Really, let's not.
But speaking of the wild animals, I finally got finished off The Blue Planet 2.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's a great DVD box set. Like, when last you used the sentence DVD box set?
Yeah.
It's like a throwback phrase here. Mm. But I did. Plowed through the DVD box set of Blue Planet 2, and I've got to say, it is totally worth it. Remember last year, everyone was going about Planet Earth 2? I think it was Planet Earth 2.
Blue Planet?
No, Planet Earth.
Oh, Planet Earth. Okay.
And every episode, there was like some sort of absolute star. You know, there was that little lizard that ran away from the snakes. There was like the city leopards in India that were like eating children. Like there was always a star to every episode.
Uh-huh.
This Blue Planet 2, it's like, every time. It's like when those illusionist magicians come into studio and everyone goes, oh my gosh, how did they do that? Every time these guys release something new, it's up a level. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure Michelle from the aquarium has probably already seen this. Although she's been partying with Amanda recently, probably has no time for this. But you've got to watch this. You've got to somehow find it. However you find your TV shows, it's just so good. And again, it's like learning about what's out there. And for many ways, I think the ocean's actually more interesting than the whole land, because it's completely unknown to us most of the time. Mm. Like, they go down to some of the depths of where I'm pretty sure, like, they go past hell and then they end up in another place where these other fish live. Not even the most vivid imaginations in sci-fi blockbusters could depict how these things look. Mm. And they've got the technology to go down there, shine a light in this eye and go, hey, you're a scary something or other.
I admire the people who put that together, because as once again, we've had one of the producers in studio, and to just hear the lengths that they go and how hard and how long it takes just to get one segment of the documentary really just
completely
says how much they work.
But like, when you hear them talk about the stuff, they nonchalantly go, so here is our base for the next 4 months. And they're literally they're like living under a tent, like 70s hippies, waiting for this fish to kind of like go through this little estuary.
Yeah, there's got to be an incredible level of commitment to filming that kind of stuff. Mm. Because
and awkward hookups.
What?
Because there's some woman who's maybe the producer, there's a guy who's a cameraman, and you're all going to be out there, and obviously someone's got rum.
So I'm getting flashbacks to that reality TV show Survivor.
Exactly, guys. This is where my mind goes when I watch this. But it'd be really funny if, you know, because, Davey Attenborough at the end, during this episode, it was quite evident there was sexual tension in the Galapagos Islands as Dave, the cameraman, hooked up with Shirley, the producer, on day 7. Shirley initially entered Dave, found out that he snores terribly.
Nasty.
And did not want to see his schlong after that.
Oh, okay. And especially after his schlong was bitten by ants or mosquitoes and other creatures.
You're not really, you're having a swim in the sea. It's not really a shower, is it? But speaking of the animals, there was this one particular episode when they go to the Galapagos Islands. Now, if you're not a nature person and you feel like you're zoning out, stick with it. The Galapagos Islands are incredible, mostly because they haven't been tainted by man. So it looks like a mythical fantasy island, really. And there's an actual story separate to the Blue Planet 2. It's about a tortoise called Diego.
Okay.
Mubs, what do you think makes Diego so special in this world?
I'm guessing Diego is about 4,005 years old.
Well, he's mature, so... Yeah.
Okay.
So, So, have you got a guess why Diego is making me talk about him today?
He has 3 legs instead of 4. I don't know.
All right. Okay. You two are really up there with making the story romantic.
No, you asked a question.
Oh, is it romantic? Oh, he was separated from his lover 70 years ago.
You're getting warmer.
And they have now reunited.
You're getting warmer. 50 years ago, there were 2 males and only 12 females left, on this island.
Only.
Left of the Galapagos Islands.
I mean, that's 6 each.
So,
or Diego could be gay.
Diego's not gay. So we all know that animal species are dying out around the world, and extinction's a terrible problem, and there's just various ways that humans are killing animals left, right, and center. So Diego and his giant schlong was transported from the San Diego Zoo to this island.
Mm.
50 years later, there are over 1,000 tortoises there now.
Sure, okay.
Diego, literally, he went down there, he slung his schlong over his shoulder and said, right, ladies, let's get this going.
Mm. And he got it going.
Diego is an absolute hero. And no, seriously, you can go to this island and you can go and meet Diego. He is that much of a hero. He's fathered over 1,000 other tortoises.
Men are trash.
Super Diego.
Since Diego's return in 1977, he's fathered over 1,000 babies. And because of this, he's fondly referred to as Super Diego.
Super Diego. I mean, Super Diego. Like, he looks like a bag of balls with just cock coming all over the place.
Oh, no.
He does. That's what exactly. But Super Diego. So if you're ever near the Galapagos Islands and you want to see a real hero, someone who's really actually done their bit for the world, Super Diego. Well, I thought it was a nice story.
Look, is Marvel about to create a movie franchise around this? No, but that doesn't mean he's not a hero. He's
Super Diego over to the 1,000 rescue.
Kids.
But how about that for a life? He was literally chilling in a zoo in San Diego, getting pointed at by fat American children.
Mm.
And then he was given the mission. And boy, did Super Diego step it up.
He committed. He signed up for it. And he delivered.
An absolute champion of an individual. Yeah, so in sadder news, I've lost my glasses.
How the hell did that happen?
Guys, it's life.
No, well, really, how did it happen?
And then how did you manage to get here in one piece?
Well, look, I need it mostly for looking at screens. So when I sit down here in the Gareth Cliff show, in the Gareth Cliff chair, like this, I look across and I see this messages coming in. Look, there's stuff around me. I see, like, on my screen, I've got a squint, but look, I'll get by.
Oh, no.
I'll get by. But it's highly annoying when you lose something you need every single day, right?
But how did you lose your glasses?
I don't know. I just actually don't know. So on Saturday, I woke up extra early just to pack everything in my hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I do not travel light. I have so much stuff with me nowadays because when I go on these golfing trips, I have all my golf outfits, which is enough luggage for anybody. I have my clubs. I have all my filming equipment stuff / drone, all that kind of thing. So I've got so much stuff, but I was so completely diligent in making sure that I packed everything. But I don't have my glasses anymore.
So now you have to go back and get a new pair.
Phoned the hotel. They looked everywhere because there's so many different facets of fan court. They literally searched high and low and chatted to everybody I'm out of contact with. So thank you to them, but they couldn't find anything.
Mm.
I know I didn't touch them during my flight back because I was too busy holding my tripod and my laptop. And it's a mystery, Mubs. It's an absolute mystery.
Yeah, look.
I go get new glasses, which is a kick in the Diego. It really is.
It's also a kick in your...
in your Diego. Is that
no,
your
in sorry. Your bank account balance. Yeah. Like, the whole thing just sounds annoying.
Yeah, because I got to go for an eye test, which are really going to remind me how I'm going blind, which is always great on a Tuesday. Yeah, so that's... That's not amazing, but I tell you what is pretty amazing is Charlize Theron.
We haven't heard from her in quite a while. Huh?
Well, the last time we heard from her, she was telling us how her mother hooks her up with some marijuana.
Oh, yes.
So her and her mother,
for her sleep issues, she said.
Inverted commas.
Her and her mother seem to have quite an interesting relationship. So here she is on the James Corden show, the mm-hmm. English guy. Yeah. Used to be fat.
Carpool karaoke guy.
Okay, so he actually has a talk show where he's not in a car. And here she is, Charlize Theron.
You grew up in South Africa and you can speak fluent Afrikaans and you speak Afrikaans still with your mother. Do you ever use speaking in Afrikaans to speak behind people's backs to sort of say things about them so that they don't know what you're talking about?
What do you think?
Well, I would do it all the time. If I had a language with my mum or a friend,
yes.
I would constantly be going, God, look at his shoes. Isn't he a state?
And the good thing about Afrikaans is like 3% of the world's population speaks Afrikaans.
Yeah.
So you have a pretty good shot that
absolutely.
Nobody is going to understand you.
Yeah.
So I took a flight to New York. It wasn't like we were in Africa or anywhere close. It was like New York. And this guy was very rude. He kind of like pushed. We were trying to get our luggage at the carousel. And my mom and I literally we're just like ripping into him, thinking that he couldn't understand a word. And he just turned around and just looked at us. And he was like, yeah, I can't always wear what you'll say, what? And we literally...
The audience is going,
hey, you're following the story.
We had no comeback. Like, it was just... And that's hard for me and my mom. Like, we talk about anal bleaching.
Yeah.
So,
if someone turned around and spoke to me, I'd have just gone straight away. I'm sorry, what? I don't know what you... I don't know what language that is. I don't know.
I just wasn't prepared.
Of course.
I've gone my whole life doing that, and nobody's ever caught us, and that was the first time. So now...
You need to be a bit more careful.
Can you imagine being at the airport and Charlize Theron and her mom go full Benoni on you? I reckon, imagine what they do in Hollywood. They're having a couple of bottles of Chardonnay on the strip, she's dressed up like monster, just no one recognizes
her.
Oh, sure. Because that's what she does in her past time.
No, I mean, that's what she looks like every other day.
I mean, she can dress it down. And then the mom, no one knows what the mom looked like. And I reckon they're just catcalling men. That'd be amazing. I'd love to go drinking with Charlize and their mom. So there's this really great show on YouTube where you've got to eat hot wings. I've spoken about it before. There's like 12 hot wings, and you get interviewed as you go through them. So with each new wing, basically they get hotter and hotter and hotter and kind of unbearable. Ugh. So Charlize Theron was on this show as well. She really is getting out there.
She's doing the rounds.
And she's sharing our mother tongue to the world.
Don't yawn with your mouth open, cover it.
Can you give me a swear word or some slang that I should know?
How nasty do you want me to get?
Get nasty.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yo ma sapus.
Yo ma sapus.
Yo ma sapus.
Yo ma sapus. What does that mean?
It's like your mother's private bits.
Okay, okay.
But not that nice. I might say this later on. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah. She is flying that SA flag so high. We are so proud of her.
But it's a cool place to be for her because she's won the Oscar. She's obviously got lots of money.
Mm.
She's had husbands.
No,
boyfriends.
She's
not had husbands.
No, boyfriends.
She's smart enough to never get married.
Even better.
There was Stuart Townsend, then there was Sean Penn, and now she's just adopted kids.
You know how much you got to drink if Sean Penn's your boyfriend?
I was just going to say, Sean Penn was...
I kind of like them.
It was a questionable phase in her life for me. I didn't think she was making the smartest decisions.
Oh, I did like them. There was something legendary about Sean Penn. And
yeah, but he's...
elevated Charlie.
Sean Penn looks like Diego's...
Exactly.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Sean Penn is old. Charlize, like, she really could be having all types of young, strapping boys dipping into her.
But then I really knew they were
dipping into her.
Into her.
She's like not a Diego. Hot sauce, my buddy. See, I knew I should have brought the Diego story up. I got my buddy all hot and flustered. Using phrases like getting dipped into.
I don't know. Sean Penn was like old, man. He's old. Ugh, gross.
People are into the older.
I get it, but it's still gross.
Oh, okay. Shame. Sorry. Thank you for judging her dating preferences.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I thought I'd be grossed out by looking at Diego coming out of his shell, but the idea of Sean Penn, that's just actually ruined my morning.
Exactly. See, he gets it.
Guys, really?
Ugh. Yeah, he's gross.
Yeah, see,
he cleans up nicely, though.
To what?
Okay, that's just me then. Okay, it's fine.
Can you imagine just being 10 minutes inside Sia's head? And the things he... Like, firstly, there's just this beautiful elevator music the whole time.
Mm.
And he goes, Sean Penn. Yeah, he's quite nice.
I mean, you're the same guy who was willing to consider Henry Van Bredaar being attractive. You were, though.
I'm still saying he's a good-looking guy before he shaved his head. I'm not saying that what he did was admirable. Look at Sean Penn in his prime when he's on some red carpet.
He wasn't in his prime when he was with Charlize Theron.
Okay, not even in his prime.
He was already older than Diego.
I still think to this day he's fine. Look past the weird light brown and gray hair and stare into those blue eyes.
Old man.
Oh, you guys are always talking about age and aging gracefully. Well, I'm just saying, putting it out there, that's all I have.
All right,
but by the way, just going back to Charlize's first point, has that never happened to you? Particularly, Mabale, like you speak other languages apart from English. Have you never like been speaking about someone and they actually understand what you're saying?
No. Oh. You mean, have I been caught being rude when I thought that I could get away with it?
Yes.
No. Oh. No, that hasn't happened. No.
It's happened a couple of times with me.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And even most recently, I'm not making this up at all and has so many similarities to Charlize's story. We were actually on our flight from Bali back to Hong Kong before we flew back to South Africa.
Mm.
And there was this couple there and the lady was black, the man was white. So my friend and I, yes, we were being horrible. I'll admit that now. But we just put together like, what are the chances? No, she's probably from England. You know, she's they live in France or something or the other. So we started talking about her because the thing was, she had this bright, bright yellow glittery eyeshadow on her face.
Okay.
And she lied on her boyfriend's lap. And so we were thinking, my goodness, honey, firstly, you have makeup that makes you look like a Las Vegas dancer. Mm-hmm. And now you're lying on your boyfriend's lap. Like, poor him. His pants will now have all of this glitter on it. So that's what we were remarking on. And then a little later on, we still don't really know whether she understood us or not, but we started talking to the boyfriend and he asked us where we're from. We're like, oh, South African. He goes, oh, my girlfriend's from there as well.
Oh, okay. All right. No.
Now we're like, screwed. Like, where from? He goes, oh, Johannesburg from Auckland Park. We're like, oh, crap. So yeah, we don't know whether she heard us or even understood us, but yeah, I still haven't learned my lesson. Sometimes it's nice though.
That's fun. So yeah, it's living on the edge.
No, but I feel bad. You know, if she did hear us, she doesn't deserve to know that. But
all right. Well, before we get to the news, I need to talk to Sia about something.
Okay.
You didn't need to hear that, though. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play what kids think of Donald Trump, because we haven't actually had a lot of Donald recently, for better or for worse.
Mm.
This is pretty funny. So what the Jimmy Kimmel, what his show does really well is that they get a lot of people's insights from the street around things. So here he is, chatting to kids, which I think you need a permit for, but he's chatting to kids about Donald Trump.
How do you think Trump has done in his first year in office?
Great.
What do you think he's done that's so great?
To save the world.
He saved the world? From what?
From harmony.
Do you think Donald Trump has done a good job in his first year as president?
No.
Why not?
Because he wants to put a wall over Mexico, and I, like, love going to Mexico.
What's the first thing you think of when I say Donald Trump?
Small fingers and orange face.
What's the worst thing he's done?
I think he needs to stop threatening North Korea.
Why?
Because I don't want to get nuked.
What's the first thing you think of when you hear Donald Trump?
Pictures.
Pictures of what?
Of princesses.
Princesses? Do you think he's smart?
No.
Why not?
He treats people badly, and that's why I don't think he's smart.
What's one nice thing you can say about Donald Trump?
He has kind of cool hair, I think.
He has cool hair? Whose hair is cooler, his or yours?
Mine.
Donald Trump has a lot of nicknames for people, like Crooked Hillary, Rocket Man. Do you have a nickname for him?
Poop Face. Mr. Tiny Hands.
Cheeto.
Can you do an impression of him?
It's gonna be great.
We are gonna build a wall. And it will be huge.
I will build a wall. A big one.
China. Here's the paper towels.
Can you do an impression of the president for us?
You're fired!
Yeah, some of those children looked like quite basic individuals. There was like mush all over their faces. They couldn't really behave themselves, but they all kind of knew exactly who Donald Trump is. Isn't that an interesting reflection on the media at large, really?
I don't know, Ben. Or is it just a case of them overhearing their parents complain about Trump a lot?
Yeah, a lot. But they pick up on everything, hey? The tiny hands.
Yeah.
There's no escaping the fact that everyone thinks about his hair, how orange he is, and how swollen his hands are.
Yeah. And that one kid who said that he really should leave North Korea alone because he doesn't want to get nuked. That's
interesting, hey?
Yeah, it's quite astute, actually.
All right, so I apologize for sounding extra nasty today. I don't know what happened. I had like half a bottle of wine last night.
Oh,
didn't get much sleep.
Oh, my gosh. You know what?
And now I woke up and I feel all like, you know, congested.
You are making growing up sound so exciting.
It is.
You lose your glasses, your body parts are falling off.
I think you should just give up the bottle. It just seems to do a lot more damage to you than good.
And what is happening? He didn't even say he had tequila.
No.
Like, ooh, living on the edge. Wine?
Half a bottle is supposed to make you feel buzzed and, you know, like frisky.
Yeah, it did a bit. Look, I'm home alone this week, so it's just me and Meowsers at home.
Oh, so you're drinking your problems away.
Completely. I'm going to admit it. Yesterday, I opened wine just to be sad. Yeah, but we'll get into that in the sport.
What?
We must now get into the five things you need to know with Mabali Moloi.
Okay. So you remember how over the weekend, the president, Cyril Ramaphosa, and his deputy, David Mabuza, were saying, you know, oh, Julius Malema should really come back to the fold and he'd be so useful within the organization and we want him back home. Well, Malema didn't waste any time in getting back and saying, I won't do it. He took to Twitter to basically say that I won't do it. That thing is dead. That thing being the ANC, of course. Malema also saying, worse, they now have two presidents, one for ANC of KwaZulu-Natal called Zupta and Ramaphosa, because that's what Julius calls Cyril Ramaphosa, for the rest. And now I must go and join the confusion? Never, Julius Malema says. So I guess that takes care of that. And then do you remember how it was a bit of a confusing weekend for the DA because they sent out that SMS to say, you know, the ANC and the EFF are working together to take all private land and homes. And they said, this is the reason why you should go, you should register to go to the polls to vote for us. Then the SMS didn't land as they had planned. There was quite a bit of backlash from a lot of people. And then the DA did a whole back and forth thing saying, we did send the SMS. And then they're saying, no, we didn't. And then, yes, we did. Well, now they have come back and they said, no, actually, we do support the whole land redistribution and restitution thing. They're very confused, Shame. They need to go back to the drawing board. They need to send out the same script to everybody so that everybody knows what storyline to stick to. So my money was speaking yesterday and saying, yes, we support efforts to undo the terrible legacy of forced land dispossession. I don't know, DA. Make up your mind. And as I say, all of you must now stick to the same story because you're all beginning to look like a bunch of idiots.
So let me get this straight. All these politicians, read pricks, believe that land should be taken from everyone in this country and the state should own it.
Yes. At this point, who doesn't agree with that notion? I think it's Bantu Holomisa. So,
okay, so Bantu Holomisa is the only one with a brain.
EFF and now DA not wanting to miss out on the bandwagon. So yeah, they all seem to be on the same page on that front.
The state does not provide solutions. It provides problems. And all of these decades are jumping on this bandwagon of trying to become like... How do you amount to the best that you can be as a human being if the state controls you?
Well, it's in their interest to control us, Ben. So
is anyone asking this most basic of question anywhere where it matters?
Listen, this is politics. I really don't think that's in the best interests of anybody other than themselves registers with these guys. I mean, it's... There obviously were discussions that were had in DA camp, and they obviously decided that actually it's strategically going to work out better for us if we now change our narrative. And that's exactly why they've done it. And that's exactly how politics works.
Yeah, like I said yesterday, the DA has this, they can have a monopoly on truth, something that people love. Like they can have banners that just say truth and steal a bomber's hope, go nuts. They have the monopoly on that, but instead they go back to just being whatever everything else is. How so sad, how utterly sad.
We'll see how this works out for them in the nearest future. And then in terrible news, a bride-to-be and her entire bridal party have died weeks before her wedding. After their private jet crashed into a mountainside and burst into flames. Mina Basaran, a wealthy socialite who's the daughter of a Turkish tycoon, was returning from her glamorous bachelorette party when the tragedy occurred. Seven of her friends and three crew members were aboard her father's jet, which was traveling from the UAE when it crashed in Iran. Just a day before the crash, she had posted, you know, a whole bunch of pictures of her and her girls enjoying a good time. And then, can you imagine that poor fiance of hers? Mm. Yikes.
Yeah, I went to a bachelor party once and father of the bride died in a car accident.
There was a similar
quite tough to endure.
Yeah, there was a similar story I think out of India a week or so ago about another bridal party where they got into a horrific vehicle accident, and they also all perished. It's just really, really sad. And then Spotify officially became available in South Africa yesterday. It was launched.
Ah, so that is the music on Google or Android.
Was streaming?
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, it's a big competitor to Apple Music, is it not?
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I feel like, I don't know, look.
So my buddy, the only one with an Android phone here is like, oh, yeah, maybe.
No, I use Google Play. Okay. And so I don't know if, you know, Spotify now being available is really going to do that much of a, or have that much of an impact in my life. I mean, as you say, a lot of people already either on Apple Music or Google Play, but, you know, I'm sure they'll collect a few numbers. Interestingly, they're all priced exactly the same, $59.99 per month. So I guess if you are interested in trying out a membership, then that's what you can do, because it officially launched yesterday in the country.
Don't be like the DA Spotify. Do something different.
Yeah, well, why does everyone go for the same?
$49.99.
Because then they're all on the same level playing field, I guess.
Yeah, but you're setting yourself apart, except for literally all you offer.
Sure, but... Actually,
I've got a bone to pick with these $59.99ers.
Okay, here we go.
I was paying $59.99 when the Rand was in the toilet, right?
What?
What?
When the Rand was, like, in the toilet. Okay. I was paying... Now the Rand's stronger, I'm still paying $59.99.
Sure.
This is a dollar-based business.
Business being the operative word, they still want to make some good money out of you, Ben.
Yeah, screw you, Apple and everyone else. Oh. If I'm paying, again, Netflix doesn't go down like the petrol price. It's a dollar thing.
I really think that you need to let go of the notion that these companies care about us.
Well, look, I mean, I don't exactly wake up thinking people care about me. I make my own way in life. But still, why is it always this fixed? Because if we're paying for a dollar thing, I don't know, this suddenly irks me.
Shame. And then in even more sad news, 49 people have been killed after a Bangladeshi plane crashed and burst into flames in Nepal. Officials saying that there were 71 people on board the US Bangla Airlines plane, and 49 of them died. And really, they're calling this one of the worst tragedies to hit the country in several years.
Yeah. Any plane crash is a disaster. With that many people,
yeah,
it's particularly bad.
Yeah, those are the five things that you need to know.
Well, thanks, Babs. Here's a sixth thing you need to know. Our internet's not going so well this morning.
Oh, well, you know, that happens sometimes.
So I apologize that I haven't read your messages out. I mean, it's not because I haven't got my glasses. The screen literally is blank.
Yes,
it is.
Nobody
can verify that with
you. Yeah.
So we're just having some connection issues in the area, unfortunately. So do send your messages and we'll get to them once we get a screen that's working. But I tell you what is working, cryptocurrency, that's still working. Yeah, not so long ago, it looked like things were rallying. Things were getting back to like a point of optimism. Bollocks, huh? It's all gone down again. Bitcoin currently $9,327. Ethereum on $709. Litecoin $179. And the rest, well, yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I just really needed the internet for a little... Sport. Let's just try to do some sport.
Yeah. Do what you know.
Yesterday. So the Proteas, good on you guys, beating the Shackle Draggers by 6 wickets. It's a big result. Massive result, because you think about it, the Indians just absolutely dick the Proteas for like a solid month. Just imagine that, a solid month. Mm. India over SA. Aussies come here, they go to Durban, in front of 4 people in Durban.
Mm.
Same again on the forehead. But the Proteas bounced back hard, and at PE, well, back at them. So the series is now beautifully poised at 1-1. Kagiso Rabada, incredible yesterday. Incredible this entire test. 11 wickets. 11 wickets. This guy has taken 10 wickets in a match now 4 times. That is more. I think he's played something like 26 matches. That's more than Alan Donald's entire career. He's the only person who's taken 10 wickets in a match more than him in South Africa is Dale Steyn. The trajectory of this guy's career is just on the up and up. He's just so, so absolutely amazing. And, well, the whole big story about this test series so far has been about the off-field antics, really. So yesterday it was then confirmed that because of Australians being little bitches and the ICC pandering to whatever the IC3 is about. Of course, the IC3 is England, Australia, and India. Hakeem Sarwar has now been suspended for the rest of the series because he has accumulated too many demerit points. Now, we spoke about this yesterday. Demerit points are given to you if you swear at batsmen or if you make any contact with them.
But I thought that was part of the cricket culture.
Yeah. Would Australia do it? Would India do it? Would England have done it? Sure. All this stuff has happened and it's been going on for so long. But hey, let's get a bright young South African talent and let's make an example of him because we don't like it when other people do it. Yeah, same old boys club of bollocks, really. Oh. So, Rabada has accumulated these points, and yes, he has obviously pushed things to a fine line, but cricket is about great things, okay? Like, I know it's a team game, but it's mostly an individual sport. So, Test cricket, as we know, is one of the most beautiful things in all of sport, mostly because it makes so little sense, the Americans will never get into it, which is brilliant. You know, it's like one of those fantastic niches of this world that we can only just enjoy. The fast bowlers are like the 100-meter sprinters of cricket. And Rabada is kind of like the Usain Bolt of cricket. You want to see him. He brings the crowds. He's damn exciting. And he delivers on the hype as well. So we saw it in this last test match where he just turned things around by himself. And he was just so dominant. The Aussie batsman had no idea. The ICC deemed his actions to be really just against the spirit of the game. Well, I'll tell you what, ICC. The spirit of the game is just you guys are doing more harm to the spirit of the game than if Rabada had to literally run in there with his pants down. I mean, you are just killing it left, right, and center. Everybody now cares about this test series because of what Rabada's been doing. Obviously, the whole Warner thing as well. But this next test will not have him. So the interest will be back to very little. And it's all you're doing, Dave Richardson and your team of yes men, who just pander to whatever the Aussies or the English or the Indians have to say. It is so sad. It is literally so sad. I mean, Faf du Plessis, in his diplomatic way yesterday, was saying that, you know, what KG does, it's pure emotion. The guy's really into what he's doing. He's a fiery, fast bowler. He is not malicious. He has nothing bad to do with people. His celebrations are an outflow of emotion, and it's just that. If I was going to do this rant last night, it would have been a lot fierier, but I've calmed down a whole lot because I'm trying to be more balanced around this. But it's absolute bollocks, and the ICC are just, they're ruining sport by being a bunch of dickless wonders. That's what it comes down to. These guys can't take a stand. They can't say what's really everyone's thinking. But they've got to hide behind the rules and just make sure that Australia, India, or England are happy. It's so sad. It really is. Because now this series, there's two more matches to go. And two matches without Rabada, well, that's just dreadful. So here he is talking about how there was nothing in it. He really didn't feel any contact at any stage against Steve Smith. And he actually then went and obviously challenged the charge because he felt there was nothing in it whatsoever.
If I knew that I did it deliberately, then I wouldn't have gone into contest. But honestly, I didn't even feel contact in that moment because I was just so pumped up. I didn't feel any contact at all. If I did it deliberately, then I wouldn't have contested. It's the same as in Lords when the Stokes incident. I didn't go and try and appeal that one because I knew that, you know, I did it. But it's going to have to stop. I can't keep doing this because I'm letting the team down and I'm also letting myself down.
So the Ben Stokes incident he talks about is when he told Stokes to fuck off after he dismissed him. And he admits to that. But now this other thing, it's such a non-event, but Steve Smith had to gesticulate that he was being manhandled. Oh, you prick. So yeah, it's very sad. Mubs, I think you picked up that I'm actually just not myself today. I'm very sad about this. And I hate the fact that these administrators just have no balls. Absolutely no balls whatsoever. Steve Smith, miraculously, was not disfigured for life after this incident. He still went on playing. And he said that it was a disappointing performance from his team and that the middle order just didn't show up. You guys are a bunch of pricks. Okay, just bring on Cape Town. Morne Mokkel will come in for Rabada, which isn't obviously the same, but Morne Mokkel, this is his last two matches for the Proteas. He needs 3 wickets to go to the magical 300 mark. And maybe this is his fairy tale moment. It's sports full of stories, and we back this story from here on in. But if you are planning, if you're in Cape Town, you're in Johannesburg, you need to get down to these test matches, support this team. they've been given a real rough deal here. And I know there's rules and I know there's things in place and I do see balance in life, but this is a cuck ruling. This is the ICC being the absolute dickless worst. And the fans need to get out there and support the Proteas team. I mean, I'm not saying we need to like boycott stuff and wear black armbands because that's been done. It's quite a 90s thing to do. We need to get behind this team in a positive sense. We really do. Good on you, Fuff, for standing up to these Aussies and just keep giving them hell. I mean, also, like, why ban him? Why not just fine him? Why take such an amazing figure of the game out of play? These other Aussies, they get banned, they get fined a little bit. Anyway, I don't want to get into this because if you don't like cricket, this is all very, very boring for you. There was football last night. Man City, they beat Stoke 2-0. A very comfortable win there. And if they beat Everton in the next match, it sets up the ultimate decider for the championship title. The English Premier League title. Now, even though it's not going to be contested because Man City are going to win it, like I said, they still beat Everton after this, the match after that is the Manchester Derby. So how very bloody fitting that Man City, after this incredible run they've had with Pep Guardiola this season, they can lift the trophy after beating Man United. So it's like a double FU to the biggest opponents because not only are they winning so early in the season, but they get to do it against the red team. Oh, that's so exciting. Again, I cheer for sports stories. Really, I do, because all my sport teams are actually just so crap mostly. But this is an amazing story. But this week, we'll see a whole bunch of Champions League action as well. We still got those matches to look forward to. So tonight, Roma will take on Shakhtar Donetsk, 9:45 SA time. The aforementioned Man United, they'll be taking on Sevilla, 9:45. Then the Besiktas will take on Bayern Munich tomorrow at 7 o'clock. That's the earlier fixture. And then Barcelona will take on Chelsea at the Camp Nou, 9:45. That's in Barcelona, of course. Well, then otherwise in the sports, well, the Bulls, the big rugby franchise, they are in absolute, well, financial disaster, really. Now, we know that the Stormers have gone through their trials and tribulations, the Westboro's Rugby Union. They've had to liquidate certain things. Well, it seems the Bulls are in the exact same thing, but there's been some skullduggery in the financials on the back end. And there's always some big fat ham beast of a man who's kind of with a moustache is involved in this. We saw it the Stormers, we're seeing it now in the Bulls as well. It's all these guys who have been working in these dark oak offices for like 50 years and everyone just like kind of trusts them. But meanwhile, they're actually doing dodgy things. So the Bulls don't have a lot of money. And that's a real sad indictment on SA Rugby, to be quite frank. Otherwise, not a whole bunch of sports to get through this week. Basically, it's just such a shame that the ICC have kind of ruined cricket for everybody right now. But we'll survive. We'll get through it. We'll be stronger. And Aussies will still get you in that third test. Dale Steyn won't be playing that test. He'll only be eligible from the fourth test onwards, which is a bit of a shame because that also would be rather poetic that he comes back and sticks to the Aussies. But that's it. So, again, I apologize. I'm so congested this morning. I hope some of those words made sense.
Congested, shame.
Judging by my buddy's laughter, absolutely none of it. Oh. But we must get to Said by Sia. This is your time of the day where things are a lot more positive, which is a nice segue going from the sport where I didn't have the best news to report on. So, Sia, what is happening in your positive world?
Well, this morning, it's all of our positive worlds, Ben, because it's a bit of a story time. Are you ready for it? Gather around. Let's come together. I love this because it seems so unreal, but it really is just a testament to how one person's random act of kindness can set off this pattern of good as well. So one stranger's selfless act of unspeakable generosity really has resulted in this ripple effect of good deeds that involved at least a dozen people and saved half a dozen lives. So it all began with 21-year-old Brandon Fletty, who had been attached to a dialysis machine and waiting for a kidney transplant for 6 years. When no suitable donors had been found, his friend, Philip Camelli, stepped up to volunteer his kidney, but unfortunately, he was not a match. So meanwhile, a 44-year-old woman named Kimberly Cooper just casually walked into a hospital one day because something came over her and she decided, actually, let me just sign up to volunteer to give away my kidney. And lo and behold, the computer matched this stranger, Kimberly Clark, Kimberly Cooper, to the young man, 21-year-old Brandon Flaherty. So are you sort of following the story so far? Yes. So they have been a match, and that's all good and well. So Kimberly, Kimberly, who is the friend of the 21-year-old, was so inspired by the stranger who just came up to help his friend that he then decided to donate his kidney too. So the circle didn't end there. The woman who was a sudden match of his organ was Claudette Ruiz, who had a daughter who was also so moved that her mom had received a kidney from a stranger and was saved by a stranger, that the daughter of the kidney recipient then decided to go on and offer her kidney as well. Are you sort of following this train reaction? It's a bit confusing, but follow me here.
It's like when it rains, it pours kidneys.
Like, I really think like everyone is just being inspired and going on and doing good. So this same pattern of selfless donation continued up until 6 different strangers offered their kidneys to patients at Chicago's Northwestern Hospital who were in need of transplants. All had been negative matches for their loved ones or friends, but were moved through compassion to help another. So on Wednesday last week, all the people involved...
See, I feel like you're getting choked up just talking about this story.
No, it really is.
Yeah, it's a really great story.
I really admire all of the people involved in this. So on Wednesday last week, all of the people involved in this rare 12-person kidney swap met each other in one room for the very first time. And someone who was in there said there were just hugs and tears and laughter that filled the air. So originally Cooper, this was Kimberly Cooper, the stranger who just walked in randomly and signed up for the list, the one who essentially began it all, says that she hopes that her story and their story overall will encourage more people to become living donors, as 100,000 people are currently on the National Kidney Waiting List in the US alone. She said that she just wanted to be a good Samaritan for the day, and 6 people will now feel a lifetime of gratitude just simply for that. So, hey, you never know what your small act of kindness might trigger in someone else. So I hope that inspires us to do some good today. And that's your Said by Sia for today.
Very nice, yeah. That's like a silo of fantastic considering all the other
things. We have like 6 degrees of separation. This is like six degrees of kidney kindness. That's what I'm calling it today.
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Wow, but that's also like jeepers, you know, you've really got to, I know you get selfless people.
Mm.
I know, like, okay, I'm the wrong person to talk about this because I pass out when I give blood. My body does not want to.
Yeah, actually, this is huge. Yeah. This is not just a little prick on your arm and you this call it
like,
a day.
This is like one of your organs. This is a big piece of you.
Mm. I've always, and one day I hope I get over myself enough to just do this. I've always wanted to also just give my bone marrow, but I've spoken to people who've done it and they say like it's... the pain associated with it as well, and they don't put you completely under, they just numb your lower back.
So and then they what, put a massive needle into you.
So you hear things and you hear, that's what I can't get
over. Just remind me again why you would need to donate your bone marrow?
You can give it to someone. So they pick up something in your bone marrow, and that's what like the Sunflower Fund does, the Sunflower Foundation do.
Is it for a kind of cancer, obviously?
Yeah, and I don't know. Your bones and okay. People wow. Who are sick and whatnot. I don't know. I'd like to do something while I'm still alive. Otherwise, it's just as simple as signing up to donate your organs once you're dead. They can always do some good somewhere.
No, you're right, Sia.
Yeah.
We should, and we should all strive to be better people. Right, we're going to strive to bring you another great hour of radio. If that one didn't work for you, well, there's next one. So...
If that one didn't work for you, just look forward to the next hour.
So Nelly Klatshwayo is our guest for the next hour. She's an ultra marathon runner, so she's obviously better than all of us already. She's run 2 comrades. I've got questions for this woman. Yeah. You run 2 comrades. I mean, she's running for a good cause, which obviously is something that does drive you. But 2 comrades, the comrades is... I'm not going to be like Gareth here and say it's stupid. The comrades is a superhuman feat.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's as much, probably more mental than it is physical. And then in the third hour, Jeremy Thompson, the legendary journalist Jeremy Thompson, will be chatting to Gareth about his new book, Life and Times in South Africa, and a whole bunch of other stuff. I think every now and again, Gareth gets really excited about certain interviews that he gets on an intellectual level.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremy was very much on that. If you're all wondering where Gareth is today, he is elsewhere.
He's emceeing an event.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Sia. And unfortunately, our computers are having a bit of a shocker as well. Between my nasal congestion and the computers.
Your lack of eyesight.
My lack of eyesight.
Surviving the bottle last night, half a bottle.
Yeah, jeez. I mean, I've gone through the ringer. So again, I apologize for not reading your messages this morning. It's just that we have blank screens. But I do have an extra special surprise for you.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. Mixed reactions.
Well, you've not really drummed this up.
Yeah, we'll see. Because our internet's not doing so well, I need to try improvising how I'm going to play you the song this morning.
Oh, dear. He's making the music choice.
Yeah.
Are we going to get flashbacks to Kylie Minogue to Australia Day?
Do you remember Australia Day?
Okay. Australia.
Why are you guys never going to let me live that one down? It was Australia Day. What was that play? Michael Jackson.
Because it's just too much fun, Ben.
Yeah,
it's
just play Michael Jackson's version of a song when he performed it in Australia. Yo. Well, Kylie Minogue does have a new...
Yeah, are you guys hearing this?
Oh, so it's not working.
Is this the beginning of the song?
No, yeah, we're having
good song this.
We're having all kinds of problems this morning.
Well, because I can't...
Can you just pick something off the system?
Here we go, something off the system.
Yeah.
Here we go. Oh, no, this is
no,
the
not this
song
one, not this one.
Please, can we take the song off the system?
No, we cannot.
No, we must take that song off the system.
You know what? It simply took us a casual 3.5 years to get what... Dead at the hospital, on your way to the hospital, off that one. So it'll just casually take us
all
another
all
three
I wanted
years.
To do was just do something nice for everyone today.
What were you going to do?
I was going to play a really great song for you.
Which one was the song?
Well, what's the point of telling you? Because you're not
going to
hear it.
No, because now you can't play it, so now you can tell us what it was.
What would you do? Hum it.
No,
it's just a really nice Janet Jackson remix, which I thought would have been a really nice way to get into our day.
Oh, Janet Jackson is always a good idea.
And now... I mean, how about this for desperate? This is now what I'm left with.
Sounds good so far.
Let Me Be Good by Justin Bieber with Selena Gomez.
Oh.
So I'm sorry. I apologize. And now you're going to hear synthesized music. Are these two still like in love?
No, apparently they've broken up again.
Because of Selena's mother, of all things.
Esperanza.
Oh, so good.
This is CliffCentral.com.